You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast. Encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. I want to show you from the scripture what it truly means to live in the Spirit, and then I'm going to show you how to do it. You are a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. You are a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again." First, I want to talk to you about your physical being, your body. Now, I want you to notice that in Scripture, we see physical descriptions of the Son, we see physical descriptions of the Father, but rarely do we catch glimpses of the physical description of the Holy Spirit. He's true to His humble nature. Though He inspired the Scriptures, though He Himself inspired every single word, He stays true to His humble nature by pointing instead to Christ. John chapter 16, verse 14 tells us that the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. So He points to the Son. However, if you study the Scripture, you will notice that there are certain glimpses that we get of the Holy Spirit. He is the man of fire in Ezekiel chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. He's the dove who descends upon Jesus. One of the references to that is Luke chapter 3, verse 22. He's seen as a fire and felt like a wind in Acts chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Now, every time the Holy Spirit seemed to show up in physical form, He vanished relatively quickly. His only lingering tangibility was the ones He moved upon. In other words, when the Holy Spirit would show up on the scene, people who caught glimpses of Him would only capture that glimpse for a moment. And then that visualization, that manifestation of His being would disappear. And the only thing that was left from that encounter was the person that the Holy Spirit graced or empowered. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, we see the Bible says this, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself." So the physical body is the Holy Spirit's vehicle to move within this world and to operate within this world. The Holy Spirit's physical body is you. You are the carrier of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So the physical body is not evil unto itself. It is not itself something that is sinful unless you make your physical body operate under sin through the decisions that you make. The physical body can be a carrier of the glory of God and can be God's holy presence within the earth. Your physical being is how you interact with the world around you. Your senses give you the experience of the world in which you exist. So the physical body is your earth suit, your means of interacting with the world around you. And then we see the soul. The soul is the realm of decision, the neutral ground. It's the mind, the will, emotions, your personality. It's your mind, what you think. It's your will, what you desire, your emotions, what you feel, your personality, how you behave. Now, everybody has a soul. Every living human being has a soul. The wicked have souls. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 10 says, "The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes." The godly have souls. The scripture says in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Every human being has a soul. Job chapter 12, verse 10 says, "In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind." So the body is your physical vehicle. It's how you interact with the world around you. The soul is the neutral ground. It's how you make your decisions. It's how you manifest your personality. It's where you feel and think. And once again, it is the neutral ground, the realm of decision. Now the spirit is your connection with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12 says this, "But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given to us. In other words, God's Holy Spirit, who knows His mind, His will, His nature, His power, communicates with your spirit, revealing everything there is to know about God. So the Holy Spirit, who is eternal and all-knowing and who knows the mind of God and the will of God, reveals that to your spirit. So the part of you that is complete is your spirit. In your spirit, you know God. In your spirit, you are complete. In your spirit, you have all things. In your spirit, you are perfected. Why? Because you are connected with the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, "But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him." So you are already one with God. You belong to Him. He belongs to you. You have perfect fellowship, perfect union. And it is out of that perfect union that we live. So the believer is not fighting to connect with God. Rather, the believer is looking to let that connection bring about the manifestation of godly things in their lives. In other words, I don't pray to connect with God. I pray from connection with God. I don't worship to connect with God. I worship from connection with God. I don't read the Word to connect with God. I understand the Word because of my oneness with God. It is out of that oneness that my spiritual life flows. It is out of that oneness that I have my spiritual being. So the body, the earth suit, your connection with the world around you. Your soul, the neutral ground, the realm of decision. Your spirit is that perfect union with God. 24/7, whether you realize it or not, you're communing with the Father right now. You're connected with Him right now. Therefore, all spirituality can be attributed to how you respond to that physical being and how you live in that reality. Now, I want to show you a portion of Scripture here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Again, that's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Now, I want you to think about what the Scripture is saying here. Before you were born again, your spirit was dead. Before you were born again, you had no connection with God. I didn't choose God. God chose me. I was dead in my sin. I had no desire to be drawn to Him. Everyone who's ever been saved has been drawn by the Holy Spirit of God. Before you were saved, you functioned from the body and the soul. There was no spirit. So your decisions were based upon your physical cravings, lust, and desire. Your decisions were based upon your soul, your mindsets, your culture, your philosophies, your emotions, your selfishness. You live from the outer layers of who you are rather than the innermost being, which is your spirit. You lived from the physical being. You lived from the soul. This is why some of you were very emotional, up and down, inconsistent, and living a chaotic life. But now that I've been brought to life by the Spirit, now that you've been brought to life by the Spirit, your spirit has been brought to life, and your connection with God has been restored. You had no spirit. You were dead. You were existing but not living. You were living out of the outer shells of who you really are. You were on your way to hell, soul and body were. Look at this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. "Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Think about that. Jesus there did not mention the spirit. Why? Because only bodies and souls are destroyed in hell. Those who are alive in the spirit are not sent to hell. We're destined for heaven. So before you were born again, it was just body and soul. And it was out of those natures that you lived. It was out of those natures that you perceived all things. It was out of those natures that you sought after those things which you desired in those natures. Now, John chapter 3, verses 5 through 7 tells us about the reality in which we live now. Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say You must be born again. Now, remember what I said, that you are connected with God. You're a body, a soul, and a spirit. Your body is your physical being. Your soul is the neutral ground, mind, will, emotions. Your spirit is already connected with God. 1 John 2:27. You know all things. Where do you know all things? In your spirit. Do you know all things in the natural mind? No. That's why revelation is not the receiving of knowledge. Rather, it's the releasing of what you know in your spirit into the natural mind. So then, when I live in the spirit, it means I'm living out of that inner reality. When I live in the spirit, it means I'm living from that oneness with God. I'm not living to try to remake that connection. I'm not living to try to gain connection with God. Rather, the believer lives out of that oneness with God. For the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, but the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Now, the spirit, remember, is your connection with God. The spirit is the one who knows him, the one who is connected with him, the one who already knows what God knows by the Holy Spirit. The soul is the mind, the will, emotions. This is where decisions are made. This is where the neutral ground is. And then there is the physical being. The physical being is what exists in this world. Some of us used to live from the outer man. We used to live from the physical body. Now, here is what most believers do. I want you to think about this. Most believers, when they live their lives, rather than receiving from the Spirit, most believers live facing the outer reality. We live based upon financial situation. We live based upon relationships. We live based upon circumstances and challenges in life. Here's the problem. When you live like this, you are up and down. Why? Because outer circumstances consistently change. When outer circumstances change and you're living a life facing the outer man, you change in your emotions. This is why many of you are emotional. This is why many of you feel like going to church one week, but the next week you can't commit. This is why one week you commit to the word and the next week you can't do it. This is why many of you pray for weeks at a time, only to find yourself in prayerlessness again. It's because you live facing the outward circumstances. And when I live facing the outward circumstances, whatever happens out there impacts me in here. It affects my mind. It affects my emotions. It affects my ability to exercise my will. It affects my personality. And so long as the believer is living from the outside in, then he is living cut off from the reality that the Spirit has. See, everyone has the Holy Spirit. Every believer, I should say. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. But so long as there is love and joy and peace and patience and power and grace and holiness all within the Spirit, and you're living facing the outer man, you're never going to be able to receive what God has for you. Remember, here you're complete. Here there is oneness. Here there is perfect union. It's done. That oneness is now. But because we're not living out of that oneness, we don't see the results of it. Now, when you live this way, it doesn't matter what God does in your spirit because you're not allowing Him by your will to affect you because you're living from the outside in. Now, you've been praying possibly for a breakthrough. Maybe you've been praying, God, if you would change my circumstance. God, if you would bless me financially. God, if you would give me that spouse. God, if only you did this for me, then I would begin to live in the Spirit. If only I had my own place to live, then I could devote to prayer without distraction. If only I had enough finances, then I wouldn't have to worry about anything. Then I could focus on the things of the Spirit. And we make excuses that sound legitimate to us, but in the Spirit, we know they're not real. In the spirit, we know they're not legitimate excuses. And we say things like that, and we wait for the ideal situation to begin living in the spirit, thinking that we have to have everything in order first. You see, we imagine that our breakthrough is going to come about through some dramatic change in outward circumstances. We think that once everything is perfected out there, then we'll begin to feel good in here and start committing to the things of the spirit within us. You think that breakthrough is a dramatic transformation of outward circumstances, when in reality, breakthrough is a small internal shift. So then, The Bible says in Romans chapter 7, verse 20, "But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it." That's Romans chapter 7, verse 20. In other words, when you make a mistake, when you sin, when you begin to live from the outer man, sure, it's you making the decision. Sure, it's you exercising willpower and causing that thing to come about. And yes, you are held responsible for the decisions that you choose. But in reality, that's not you. That outer man isn't you. That outer shell isn't you. When you act according to the old nature, you're acting according to a nature that's outside of who you really are. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, "So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace." When you live from the inside out, you learn to receive from the inside out. When you live from the inside out, you learn to base your identity on the Spirit and not on the exterior. When you live in the Spirit, you live grounded in the reality that you already belong to God and He already belongs to you. You're already one, perfect union, not something you have to work for, not something you have to beg for. It's something you have to, by faith, live in, knowing confidently that you are already one with the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.